Well, welcome, guys. It's so good to see you. I'm so excited to be up here. Just sharing a little bit more about Grace. Enrique did a spectacular job last week, and so just want to expand some, and yeah, so excited. So through this series, you know, we've been looking just the different areas of our lives where we're just seeing ourselves inaccurately, hence the title, Out of Focus. God designed us, created us in a special way, and it is this beautiful picture. And whenever we aren't fully rooted in truth, you know, we recognize that things become blurry and we start to see ourselves inaccurately. Some of the truths that we've talked about so far in the series are, one, you know, that God's love is constant, that his love determines our value, and then we looked at how God designed us for community. And then last week, Enrique shared that God's grace is abundant, and yeah, he hit on so many good points, and so tonight I just wanted to expand a little bit further on it, so let's pray. God, I thank you for tonight. I just thank you for your word. I thank you that you painted this beautiful picture, God. And I just pray that you would reveal areas in our lives, God, that we aren't seeing it clearly. Help us to align just our vision to be just more like yours, God. And I just pray for tonight. I pray that you would just speak through me, God, and that you would touch at least one person in this room. In your name, amen. Cool. So just to start, I love how Enrique shared that we just received this grace that is upon grace that is already given to us. So not only do we receive grace through Jesus Christ and what he did for us by sacrificing himself on the cross, but each day, grace continuously influences and grows us as believers. And as Enrique shared last week, not only do we receive this grace, but we are empowered by it, and we are to walk in the freedom of it. So when we take a second to stop, reflect, as hopefully we were able to do from last week, I just want us to ask ourselves, do our lives truly reflect the grace that God has given us? Are we truly empowered and walking in the freedom of it? I believe part of the evidence in which we see God's grace in our lives is how we extend his grace to ourselves and to others. And if we don't fully believe this truth, that God's grace is abundant, these two things can be increasingly difficult. So I want to take some time tonight and just examine how God's grace is affecting us and our lives. So you don't have to be perfect to embrace it. Grace is freely given. And God is pouring grace on us every day, abundantly, and without restraint. So if God is giving us so much grace, why are we unable to receive it? And why are we unable to give grace to ourselves? I personally struggle with this. I know a lot of my friends struggle with this. People I encounter with on a daily basis, they struggle with this. And I think part of receiving God's grace when we fall short or fail is extending it back to ourselves. And as I was reflecting, I felt as though there were two areas where this was especially challenging. And the first being, we hold ourselves to this perfect standard. There's this idea of perfection that we have in our lives. And then the second one being, we carry this unnecessary guilt or shame. So, how often do you notice that you are holding yourself to a certain standard? As we've discussed in previous weeks, with the lifeboat game or with the comparison trap, society has built up this idea that we have to set these high standards for ourselves, and perfection is what we are trying to achieve. And this is in all and every area of our lives. When I get my grades back and I don't do as well as I had hoped, or when I look to my friends' apartments and theirs is so very Pinterest-worthy and mine is just super messy, doesn't even have a color coordination, and just really fails in comparison to theirs. But even when I look back at my childhood and recognize that I could have been a better, loving, and serving daughter, I immediately have fallen short in all of these areas where I've held myself to such a high standard of perfection. But guys, there's grace for that, for the times that I didn't perform well on a test, and then for the rooms that are figurative and literal that wouldn't make it into a magazine, and even for my past when I feel like I could have been a better daughter. all of these areas in our lives. Some seem small and maybe minimal in comparison to the larger things, but this impacts all of these moments, and we put this perfection on all of it. So I encourage you to take a step back, examine areas in your life. Where have you created these high standards? And then allow yourself grace. And as I said earlier, you don't have to be perfect to embrace it. Grace is freely given. So when we are looking at struggling with extending ourselves grace, how often do you feel guilty or shame? We live in this reality that we will fall into sin, and it will ultimately impact our lives, our friendships, even how we view ourselves. And then, without fail, it normally just creates this heavy amount of guilt that just weighs down on us. But we have to recognize that there is a difference between conviction and shame. So I love that you hit on it. So conviction, it's a prompting by the Holy Spirit. Something doesn't feel right, and we need to change, we need to repent, and then we seek God in the midst of it. But shame, that's of the enemy, and he wants you to feel defeated and destroyed in your sin. Shame also encourages you that you need to sit in that idea and that feeling that you don't deserve the forgiveness, and that there's still things you need to do in order to prove yourself. But as Enrique shared last week, we don't deserve that forgiveness and we don't deserve that grace. But God still chooses to freely give it. No matter how much shame that we will feel, and no matter how much the enemy tries to tear us down. And yes, there may be consequences to the actions, and that is definitely going to come up. But grace is not dependent on that. We need to be reminded of what God has given us. This perfect gift of grace, and truly live in it by extending it to ourselves and no longer living in this place of defeat and shame. And I know that it's easier said than done. We are going to experience pain. We're going to experience brokenness. And sometimes we aren't going to be able to see that there's going to be any redemption. But what is God's grace and forgiveness if we aren't living in it? So before I was married, I struggled pretty heavily with sexual sin. And there came a time where I did feel convicted and was able to conquer it, but only thanks to God. Seriously, could not have done it without him. But for some reason, I could not give myself grace. I knew that God had forgiven me and washed me clean, but these feelings of shame just weighed so heavily on me. But it was so important for me to remind myself of the truth that if God had given me grace, then I needed to stop living like I was unforgiven. God has given you grace, and you need to stop living like you are unforgiven. But I did. I started feeling the redemption the moment I was able to walk through just the same things with the girls around me who were also struggling with sexual sin. So holla at me if you need talk. but really, it was so amazing to see how God could use something an area where I felt so broken and had struggled with for so long, just for so much good, and just seeing how he redeemed that and really just could bring him glory. And I never would have experienced that. I never would have allowed that to happen if I just sat in those feelings of shame that I just put on myself for so long. God's heart for us isn't to sit too long in these feelings of guilt and conviction. Yes, he wants us to recognize where we aren't honoring him or where we aren't honoring ourselves, but then to turn and seek him and allow him to work in our lives. And honestly, with this shame, we need to completely eliminate it from our emotions and eliminate it from our feelings. God ultimately desires for us to love, forgive, and provide grace for ourselves, truly understanding that we are forgiven. And God is so, so good to us that we honestly need to be so much better to ourselves. So now that we've talked about grace for ourselves, why do we find it difficult to extend grace to those around us? Yay! So I know most situations that we encounter, you know, they stem from so much hurt. They stem from so much anger. But people are imperfect. And in some way, shape, or form, they're going to let us down. They're going to upset us. they're going to break our trust, whether it's intentional or unintentional. Relationships are tricky and most definitely take work and lots of grace. So I wanted to read from Matthew and specifically the parable of the unforgiving servant. So Jesus often told parables just as a way to relate to the people that he was walking in life with, and he just tried to communicate certain lessons to them. So we're going to go through Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 through 30. So if you want to pull out your Bibles, oh, or it's up there. And I'm reading from the ESV. Cool. Then Peter came up and said to him, "Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as seven times?" Jesus said to him, "I do not say to you seven times, but 77 times." That's a lot. Seven times, I can do that. But 77, oh, that's a lot. Too much. But Jesus is stating that there is no limit to forgiveness. Peter asked Jesus how many times that he needs to count. And Jesus responds saying, there is no need to count. And honestly, if we only had even seven, just my drive home today from Virginia Beach, I would have used all seven. It was, no. Okay, but back to verse 23. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. When he began to settle, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents, which is equivalent to like several million dollars now. And since he could not pay, his master ordered him to be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. So the servant fell on his knees, imploring him, "Have patience with me, and I will pay you everything." And out of pity for him, the master of that servant released him and forgave him the debt. So the king did so much more than show patience to him. He showed him grace. He showed him forgiveness by completely canceling that debt and let him go. Verse 28. But when that same servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, which is similar to a few dollars. And seizing him, he began to choke him, saying, "Pay what you owe." So his fellow servant fell down and pleaded with him, "Have patience with me, and I will pay you." He refused and went and put him in prison until he should pay the debt. So I did some research, and servants then would work about 50 weeks a year and about 6 days of the week. And at the end of their year, so I guess annually, they would make about 300 denarii. So the 100 was probably like 4 months of his work. But with the first servant, he owed the 10,000 talents, and that's equivalent to 200,000 years of work. So just to put that in perspective for you. But as we see here, this servant, the first servant, he was forgiven by his master and shown grace, but was unforgiving when he turned to his fellow servant. And in this parable, we see this parallel of the actions of the master, who is God, and then of the fellow servants, who would be us, his children. But when God decides to cancel our debt and provide us with this immeasurable amount of grace, we now have this opportunity to express to others what we ourselves have experienced. God instructs us to be instruments of change. And when we first experience his grace and truly receive it for ourselves, we can then better extend it to those around us. And even if we need to forgive those around us the seven times or the 77 times, this truly is nothing in comparison to what God has freely given us in his grace and just continues to give us. And if we don't extend this grace to others, are we truly living in it? And I love this quote. In God's kingdom, sincere forgiveness will mark all relationships. It is a genuine sign of a changed heart, a heart that has become like God's heart. So what do we do from here? I think we need to look out for one another. We need to hold each other accountable. We need to encourage each other, really to remain secure in this grace that God has given us. And so in Hebrews 12:15, it says, "See to it that no one falls short of the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many." So grace protects our heart from allowing bitterness from situations and experiences to just creep in. And this is for ourselves or those in the relationships that we have. And the last thing we want is for any bitterness to impact the relationships we have around us. And the attitude of this bitterness, it grows inside of us and just produces a new fruit of its own kind. And this isn't the good fruit that God has designed and wants for us in our hearts. And bitterness will not only affect your own life, but as it continues to grow, it will impact the relationships you have around you. But God's grace has the power to wash over all resentment, hurt, and misunderstandings, so bitterness has no place to grow. His grace can replace hurt with healing. And we need to remain in God's grace and allow that to dictate our actions instead of our normal responses to situations. I also believe we need to build on disciplines that will help us be more like Jesus. Jesus was the ultimate example of grace, so we should do what we can to be more like him. We need to spend time in prayer, worship, solitude. We need to engage in practices just as Jesus did to more align our hearts like his. And another way to learn more about Jesus is honestly to spend time in scripture. As we're going through this book, Surprise the World, over the summer, they just strongly encourage just emphasizing the studying of scripture, but more specifically, Jesus's actions and just the way that he encounters and loves people. So I want to challenge us this week to just seek to be more like Jesus and learn to better extend grace to ourselves and to those around us. Let's pray. God, I thank you that the grace that you give us is abundant, that is overflowing, that you do not hold back, God, and that it is a free gift, that you give us grace upon grace. I pray that we would learn how to fully accept it and just extend it to ourselves. God, and I pray that if we recognize that this is something we struggle with, God, that we wouldn't be hesitant to reach out to those around us. God, I know that this is a common struggle for so many of us. And so I just pray, God, that as you redeem any area we fall short, that you will even redeem us, God, in how we feel not worthy of your grace. So I just thank you for this night, and I thank you for this wonderful family. In your name, amen.